Hi, this is Pete Peterson, Executive Director of the Davenport Institute, based at Pepperdine School of Public Policy, and I'm very excited for today's Davenport discussion with David Camp. David, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
David, you just spoke before our graduate policy students on the work that you do around group facilitation using a particular technology known by various names, keypad polling, instant polling. You give it a different name. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, first, about the technology and the way that it can be used to better engage groups of the public.
Sure. One of the things that people can see if they look at television, if they go to football games, in a variety of settings, you can see that we're in an era of polling where people are often asked their opinion. And what's starting to happen, but I think not fast enough, is people are using that technology in meetings in order to hear from more people, in order to take the pulse of the group. I call that technology speed polling to enhance input and knowledge, or speak. But it's really not important what it's called or how it's done. It could be done with the text message capacity of cell phones, with web-enabled devices or tablets, or with separate devices. But I think that this technology represents a real shift forward. For people who convene meetings, we now have a new technology where we can hear from people, and the process of hearing from them is not burdensome. It's instant, it's relatively inexpensive, and it's reliable. So we get to new questions about what does it mean to hear from groups? What does it mean for groups to convene? And what does it mean for people to cooperate? And what does it mean for people to create their own experiences where they get to see themselves, see the group, and make decisions together? And I think it's a new era, and I'm just trying to usher it in.
David, when most people think about public meetings, especially around policy issues, they think about that TV show Parks and Rec, where there's, you know, some sort of contentious yelling back and forth between a single person at a microphone and a group of policymakers. Take the listener into a meeting that's facilitated in the way that you do it with these pieces of technology.
Sure. I think that the most important shift is that we need to go from the past meetings in which it's one voice at a time, where it's one person speaking to many, and rather we need to figure out ways that many people can speak at the same time. There's a few ways to do that. Speak technology helps with that. You can ask a group a question. You can ask, what has been your experience of this issue? Or what's your feeling about this policy? Or for that matter, we can ask, which neighborhood are you from? Or which group are you in? And we can all see where people are from the perspective of where they come from, their opinions, their background, et cetera. And if the questions are asked in a smart way, we can begin to think about how does people's perspective relate to what we came to talk about. And we can move to more of a collective analysis of what is the problem we're confronting, as opposed to people just being in their own mindset, that person at the microphone saying, well, this is my opinion, and I know that everybody feels like this, like me, but they actually do not. We can actually know where groups are. And so the question becomes, how do we use that technology to invigorate our democracy, both in public meetings or even in meetings of nonprofits or neighborhood groups? When you can actually hear from a group of people, I think we have to ask, when do we use that to enhance our own experience? I think that there's an opportunity that people who organize meetings can have, but they have to, it's a little bit harder. You have to think more clearly about what you're doing in a meeting, but I think the benefits are legion.
I think what you're addressing is really become much more widely known. The fact that our public meetings are broken. And certainly the work that we do at the Davenport Institute at the School of Public Policy, I have that experience personally in working in public meetings where there is that very contentious way of engaging the public, usually that is not very representative. If we care about the democratic qualities of our meetings, they are not very. And at the same time, we've also done research at the Institute about with California public sector officials who have found that most of their public meetings are dominated by very narrow interests. And the opportunity to engage a wider group of the public, to actually have information exchanged back and forth, to actually have learning take place, is something that just does not happen. And I think what's so exciting about your work is, in part, it's introducing technology that is both fairly cheap, fairly available. But I think one of the things that you brought up in your presentation with students just here this afternoon is that part of the challenge to making this technology more available is actually a leadership challenge.
That's right.
About the perspective that our public sector leaders have toward the public and what's possible about our public meetings. And I wonder if you could speak to that.
Sure. I think what's important and what the opportunity is to shift away, again, from a one-voice meeting to a many-voice meeting. The technology where you can ask polling questions about that, but there's also a facilitation challenge. You can also organize meetings where people, instead of talking in one big group, they're talking in well-facilitated small groups with an effort, strong effort made to make sure that the conversation, the information is teed up in an objective way and that you hear from everybody. And that's the reason that leaders need to do that is because we need more voices at the table as our problems become more complex. As the problems become more complex and we have more issues of equity and fairness, it is more important, increasingly important, that we bring all voices to the table and also analyze, are we doing that? That's where polling can also come in too, so that we can really try to come up with a collective solutions. I think that people in an increasingly fractured society are tired of being left behind. And so we have people from all sorts of strata of society deciding my voice isn't being heard. Well, what I'm suggesting is that if leaders take active steps through the use of technology and through the use of more advanced facilitation techniques to say, we're really going to hear from everybody and we're going to create kind of learning feedback loops. So not only are the leaders learning, but we're all learning together how we all see things. And I think what that can produce is a kind of to use a little California type language, a shift in consciousness. But I think it's also important. It's a shift in perspective, because what we need more people to look out for the welfare of the group. But as long as they can't see the group as a whole, it becomes more difficult to do that. We now have both processes and technology which help with that. And so the question is, when are leaders going to start using that so they can be of better service?
And I think one of the things you brought up about the facilitation technique, separate from the technology, but in using this technology, that the technique of understanding most of our public meetings, we usually have no idea who else is speaking, so-called, on our behalf, right? Many people will get up to their microphone and get their 3 minutes and say, the people of Malibu say X, without really, it's a very easy thing to say, but it's not a very accurate thing to claim. And I think the piece about what you're doing here is, and the technology enables, is for anyone who shows up to the meeting to have a much clearer sense of who else is in that room.
Right. And I mean, to imagine a world in which we have our public meetings, even if we have them in a similar format, but a couple of times in the meeting, we say, who is here? And we find out what is the diversity of perspectives, either from an ideological standpoint or on a particular issue or from a demographic standpoint. And how does that compare to what we know about who's in the community? Mm. We're all appreciative. It doesn't mean the meeting is a failure if it's skewed to people of color or skewed white or skewed young or skewed old.
Right.
We want to appreciate people coming to meetings no matter who they are. But we can also know, well, this group doesn't necessarily represent everybody. It represents an important constituency, and we want to take that seriously. I think that it's the obligation of leaders now that the technology is available and is cheap and reliable, to move towards using it so that these meetings become closer to experiences of communion as opposed to conflict. Mm-hmm. We need to spend more energy trying to make that happen.
Well, David, it's been great to have you here. A second about your book. Could you just tell the listeners the book that you have out?
My book is called Read the Room for Real: How a Simple Technology Creates Better Meetings. Again, Read the Room for Real. You can go to readtheroomforreal.com to get it. And it's all about using audience polling to make civic engagement more vibrant, more alive, more productive. And I deal with it all the way from the practical aspects of what kind of questions do you ask first, all the way to deeper issues about the nature of democracy and to what extent does having the capacity to hear from a group raise thorny questions about when does the group's position matter and when what is actual leadership. So I try to cover the ground, but give people, it also does a user's guide in the middle of the book. Here's how you do this in a conference, in a workshop, in a dialogue.
David, it's been great to have you here. I've always thought that one of the unique aspects of Pepperdine's public policy program is that while many programs teach their students about policy, they're not so good at connecting it to the public. And having you here on campus is, I think, evidence of the fact that we really want to focus on not just the creation of policy, but making sure it's as public as possible. Mm-hmm. And so great pleasure to have you here on Davenport Discussions. This is Pete Peterson, Executive Director of the Davenport Institute. Thank you so much for listening.